Hi, welcome to this episode of DebtWired. I'm Joe Yu, Deputy Managing Editor of DebtWire Europe. On this episode, we speak with Pavlin Kumchev, Managing Director at Brigade Capital, a firm with around $30 billion in asset under management. Today, we'll touch on topics like cheap options, tail risk, base case scenarios. But instead of credit strategies, we're going to hear about how these can be applied to our lives. Pavlin has recently published a book called Solving Life, Mastering Decision-Making with Investment Wisdom, which reached number one in the new releases and number five in investment books overall categories in the UK in its first month on Amazon. Pavlin, thanks for joining us today. To start things off, please tell us a bit about the book and why you wrote it.
Well, thank you and the rest of the team for inviting me to do this podcast, which is a bit different from my day-to-day job. But maybe that's the point. After two decades in the business, I wanted to explore not just how we invest money, but how we invest our lives. As you mentioned, I'm a managing director at Brigade Capital, a global asset manager, where I focus on investments across the capital structure. I spent about a decade previously focused on European distressed debt and special situations at Blackstone and Carlyle. So this book is a deeply personal project for me, one that connects the dots of my life. It ties together everything I've learned throughout my career in investing and finance with my personal values and what I see as life's greater meaning for me. And as a side project amidst everything else, I'm deeply grateful to my friends and family and my colleagues who've supported me over the past 3 years writing the book. So the book first started as a legacy for my two sons. It's like a father's advice on making better choices in life. And as I kept writing, I realized it was growing into something bigger, something that I wanted to share with a broader audience. If you're an investor, I think it's a fresh perspective on the fundamental principles of value and, by extension, distressed investing. And for everyone else, it's a toolbox for applying those principles to better day-to-day decision-making. I'm convinced that just like investing can teach us how to lead a better life, life itself can teach us how to be better investors. So while the examples in the book come from all walks of life, from finance to music, writing, cooking, sports, and family, of course, it's really about the intersection of those two ideas, how to be a better investor and a better decision-making through the same principles.
What are some of the key themes of the book? You mentioned the interplay between life and investing.
That's one of the underlying themes of the book. Life and investments hold a lot in common. They have a beginning and an end, and we try to maximize outcomes, but there's a lot of variability. Many events are outside of our control. The second one is that the book introduces a framework of thinking, which is rooted in value and distressed investing, aiming to optimize outcomes regardless of chance. I call it the cheap option strategy. At its core, it's about making choices that minimize downside while constantly seeking opportunities for outsized growth. So it's a type of defensive offense where the most important rule is to avoid devastating losses that can knock you out of the game entirely. So here is an example. During the shipping crisis in 2015-16, investors were talking about the collapse in ocean vessel valuations. As rates collapsed and some of these vessels became deeply loss-making, you could buy them at valuations close to scrap metal value. That puts a floor on your downside. But if the market recovers, the upside is always substantial. It's the same in life. You want to focus on decisions with limited downside and keep yourself in the game, ready to turn defense into offense when the opportunity comes. Sometimes it means going against the grain, putting capital to work when everybody else is running away. And I think in investing, as in life, you have to be contrarian and dare to be different if you want to really make a mark.
It feels like what you're trying to develop is a framework of thinking rather than specific advice.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Joe. It's not about giving specific advice for every situation. It's a framework that focuses on the right process rather than trying to predict the outcome. And the outcome is often unpredictable and outside our control. But if you have the right framework in place, you can maximize your outcomes across a wide range of scenarios. That's the core idea of the cheap options framework. Here is an example. Thames Water, for instance, which of course is topic of the moment and probably well known to your listeners. If you recall, a few years ago, there was a hose ban in London. Now, imagine you want to water your garden. Rain is inherently unpredictable, but if you put a bucket outside, eventually it will fill. The bucket is your structure. You can't forecast when it's going to rain, but if your setup is right, you'll be prepared to capture the upside whenever it comes. And that's what the cheap options is all about.
I know the book is multifaceted, but if you had to distill it down to its core lessons, what would those be?
Yeah, I've tried to include a few lessons there, but four really stand out. And so the first and foremost, avoid devastating risks or fat tail downside risks. Those are risks where if you get hit, you're out of the game. In investing, that means avoiding bets with massive downside. In life, it might be taking care of your physical and mental health, so you're never too far off course to recover. Number two, luck is a fickle friend, but having it early in life matters more than having it late. You know, think about an investor who makes, say, 7 or 8 winning bets at the start. Now, they can probably afford to get the last couple wrong. But it's the other way around, and you blow up your first several bets, you might not have a career left. It is the same in life, and it's exactly why we need a reliable decision-making framework to guide us through uncertainty. Third one, I say, we're very poor at predicting the future. Now, most people obsess over the base case scenario, but often it's the tail scenarios that matter the most. Let me give you an example from healthcare, which is a sector I've been covering through the years. Let's say a patient walks in with chest pain, and there's a 60% chance it's a heart attack. You prescribe blood thinners, and it's great. There's a 10% chance it's a clot in the lungs, and the same treatment works. But if it's a ruptured aorta, let's say that's a 30% chance, then blood thinners are truly catastrophic, and you don't get a second chance. So even though the most likely outcome is safe, the consequences of the tail event are what matters. That's why in investing in life, you need to manage for the tails. Another way to look at it is, say your base case is 40% probability. You have 6 other outcomes that are 10% each. So the base case, that 40% is the most likely one, but all the rest combined are more likely. If any of them carries a severe downside, a devastating scenario, you really need to think differently than purely focus on the base case. Lastly, perhaps the most important principle is do good. It's the ultimate cheap option. There is nothing to lose, but so much to gain.
The book includes a lot about the psychology of decision-making. Can you talk a bit about that?
Yeah, sure. I explore several behavioral biases. Some are well-known that shape the way we think. One of the most interesting ones is loss aversion. We suffer much more from a loss than we enjoy an equivalent gain. It takes like 2 to 3 shots of happiness, so to say, to balance out one single shot of sadness at the bar of life, so to speak. And if it's 1-to-1, then you're likely pretty depressed. And now this has real implications. If you get unlucky at the start of your journey, whether it's investing or life, it can spiral down. And that's why it's critical to protect against loss early on. That way you give yourself a chance to benefit from compounding wins as opposed to risk compounding losses, which build up, as we see, at a faster pace. Another concept is the peak end rule. Basically, our brains assign disproportionate value to you and remember more the most intense moment, as well as the end of an experience. What's the importance of that, you might ask? Well, in investing, it's clear. We cannot control the market, but we can choose when to enter, how to navigate its peaks and troughs, the moments of highest intensity, and when to exit. The peaks and bottoms are where money is lost or made, and ultimately, how we exit an investment is all that matters. I think the implications for life are profound. Now, first of all, how you end a chapter of your life, an experience, or a relationship is critical. And my advice in the book is wherever, whatever, and whoever you leave, leave well. You know, they say life is how you remember it. And if we place greater value on the moments of high emotional intensity, then choosing to consciously imbue these special moments of our life with emotional intensity and meaning helps us put a structure around our life and the chapters we choose to include. Just like an investor decides when to buy and sell, go in and out of the market, we can choose which moments of our lives to highlight and keep. My advice is, you know, celebrate your successes, spend time with people you love, you know, take the time to understand and integrate losses. In other words, the book is a call to live with greater intent and deliberation.
My last question comes with a spoiler alert. Did you manage to solve life?
Right. So unsurprisingly, I didn't. And there's a joke that many have tried so far and they're all dead. The title is a pun. It refers to the idea of solving lives backwards. Just like an investor backs off from a target return to a bid price while taking risk and desired return into consideration. We can back solve from our dreams to the decisions we make today. The sacrifices we're willing to make depend on the life we want to live. And even more than that, our dreams physically change the structure of our brains and end up shaping who we are right now. The book sees life like a Monte Carlo simulation. It's that software that runs hundreds of thousands of potential scenarios. So imagine replaying your life thousands of times. You probably get a bell-shaped curve of possible outcomes. Some are terrible, some are phenomenal, extraordinary. There's a central tendency in the middle, but the difference between the left tail and the right tail is really massive. So the book is a guide on how to push yourself along the curve closer to the right-hand tail, where the more extraordinary and desirable outcomes lie. And not by predicting life, because I think that is impossible, but by structuring it the same way we structure good investments, with upside optionality, downside protection, and enough staying power to capture the moments that really matter.
Well, Pavlin, thank you for giving us these interesting snippets from your book, Solving Life. To our audience, thank you for listening to Debt Wired. I'm Jo Yu. More episodes of Debt Wired are available on Apple and Spotify.